Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Your national cash contest code word for 3 o'clock is NOTE, N-O-T-E, NOTE. Text that to 72881 and you could be the $1,000 winner in the national cash contest. Today we are talking anything but that baseball team. You guys know exactly what baseball team I'm talking about. And to celebrate that, we're going to do a college whip around. We're going to head to Columbia, Manhattan, also Lawrence, Kansas, to take a look at what colleges are doing over the summer. One college has been on absolute fire when it comes to their recruiting, and that has been the University of Missouri. Let's head to St. Louis right now and be joined by Dave Matter. Dave, how's it going?
It's going well. Thanks for having me.
Dave, we appreciate you coming on. You have covered Missouri Athletics. Ever seen them recruit like this in either football or basketball the way that Eli Drinkwitz is right now?
In football, I think the closest comparison is probably in Gary Pinkle's very first year, right after he got the job. He really cleaned up around the state. And maybe that class didn't rank as high as in the recruiting rankings as this class does, but he got pretty much everybody he wanted in the state of Missouri, some high-profile players that weren't considering Missouri at all before the coaching change. And, a couple of headliners and maybe some guys that didn't turn out to be great college players, but at the time there was a lot of buzz. And then a couple of years later, he did the same thing with the Tony Temple class that really created a lot of excitement and really formed the nucleus of what became one of his best teams. But I'd say in football, that's probably the closest comparison. So there hasn't been many.
Dave, what's working in your opinion? You know, when it comes to recruiting, how fickle it can be. You also know when it comes to recruiting, a lot of it is based off momentum. And it feels like once you can kind of get that ball rolling and you can convince kids that it's cool to come to wherever your school is, that it just kind of grows upon itself. That feels like what's happening with Missouri. What do you think is working for Eli Drinkwitz right now?
I think of a lot of it as his personality and his staff, that their charisma, their energy, they're really relentless at recruiting. They've done a really good job. For a year, they made the most out of having to recruit remotely with Zoom and FaceTime and whatever, text messaging, whatever it was that worked. They were able to develop relationships that way and kind of think outside the box in the way that they did all that. And then ever since, it's only been a few weeks, but since recruiting back up, they've been a really good job of getting guys on campus early in the process. So, before they went out and saw a bunch of other places, and not that they've gotten all of those kids committed, they've got Mizzou on the brain for sure. And like you said, momentum plays a big part of it. Kids want to play with other good players, the ones they get to meet, through this process, through social media. I think that plays a big factor in all of this. And they've just hit the right buttons and hit the right notes. And then I think it's just a reflection of what his sales pitch is, and I think he's got a really good one right now.
No, he absolutely does, and I think it really started to maybe stand out to people who don't follow Missouri recruiting as closely flipping a kid that is committed to Tulsa or leaving from Tulsa, that's one thing. To commit a kid who was verbally committed to go to LSU and for him to say, no, I'm not going to LSU, a national power, and go to Missouri, that's just not something that happens very often with that program.
No, it doesn't. And, there's lots of times there's different circumstances involved in this. And this year you're going to see more flips probably than ever before because a lot of these kids committed to schools without really seeing them up close because they weren't allowed to take visits. And now they're all not reopening their recruitment, but they are, visiting some places even though they might be committed somewhere else. So I think you're going to see a lot of this. And it may come back to bite Missouri, you know, with one of their commitments. That's just it's all fair in recruiting. So we'll see what happens. But I think he's been really aggressive and not, you know, not avoiding kids that are committed somewhere else, because we know how fickle they can be. And, you know, this year is really, you know, is such a sort of an outlier because so many kids committed places without ever taking a visit there. So I think he's going to continue to be aggressive and try to flip more kids if he can.
I'm sure you'll be asked this question an endless amount of times between now and when he actually signs. Right now, Missouri has a chance to maybe flip Luther Burden. He is the number one wide receiver in his class. He is a top 10 recruit, according to Rivals. He's committed right now to go to Oklahoma. What's the likeliness / probability you think that he could end up being a Tiger?
Well, I think Missouri will be right in the mix, and maybe until the end. You know, he has scheduled a lot of visits this summer. You know, he's going to see Alabama. He's going to see Georgia. He's already been to Ole Miss. He's been to Missouri. He's going to come back to Missouri at the end of the month. I think he wants to see Florida. He's got a scheduled visit for Indiana. He is really considering the field at this point. And I think most folks expect him to kind of take that decision maybe down to the wire to the December signing date, because he'll want to get his official visits in. I'm sure he'll want to see some places on game day. You know, in the fall, when they'll host him and make a big deal out of that, which they should, because he's the number one recruit in the country. So, at this point, there's no indication to think Missouri won't be in the running till the end.
And that is Dave Matter, who covers the Missouri Tigers for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, one of the best beat writers in all of the country. Dave, appreciate you coming on our show today. Thanks a lot.
Okay, thanks a lot for having me.
Absolutely. That's Dave Matter joining us on the show today. As we continue our Anybody But the Royals today, let's talk some K-State football in the middle of the summer with my guy, John Kurtz. Kurtz, you, the same rule apply. If you mention that baseball team, I'll hang up on you.
Fair enough. I get it. Go T-Bone. How about that?
They are now the Monarchs now. Get it right, John. I know it's been a while since you've been here. They're the Monarchs now.
That's my bad. God, that was a bad mistake. We're off to a great start, man.
So right now we're talking some K-State football with John Kurtz. What's the vibe, the buzz right now about this K-State program?
Oh, boy. I would say right now it's very wait and see. It's been a long time since anything really positive has happened for the football program, and some of that has been their fault. Some of that has been the pandemic's fault. But the last time they won a game was October 24th. They did smash Kansas when that happened, but they lost out the rest of the year. There have been some recruiting misses since then. I think the pandemic restrictions on recruiting have really hurt them, where you have not been able to have kids on campus. Because I think, and this has been a discussion in the last 24 hours around here, but Manhattan can be a tough place to recruit to. I think it's a great college town, but if you can't actually show somebody that, that's a really tough sell to a kid from Georgia, where they've been recruiting a lot, or Texas. You got to bring them here, and you have to have them experience what a game day atmosphere is like. They just have not had that advantage for a long time. So you've had losses on the field, recruiting losses off the field start to pile up, and I think everybody just really wants to see this team actually get out there on the field and win some games to get some good vibes coming back up with this team, which makes the Stanford game, which is the season opener, and a game at Jerry World and in Arlington, very, very important.
John, how many K-State fans are you expecting to be down at that game? Because if K-State fans are going to be what I think they are, I think it's going to be like 30,000 people that make the trip.
I would hope. I mean, I would think that would be on the higher end of what you expect fan-wise from me. There are a couple things happening here. One, like I said, the excitement level is not exactly at an all-time high with the program right now. It's also an 11 a.m. kickoff, which really hurts. And, I mean, that hurts on a lot of different levels. I think a part of the idea with moving this game was to try and get some extra exposure, and an 11 a.m. kickoff doesn't really sound that great. You'd be competing at 2:30, and especially in the nighttime window with, like, Georgia, Clemson, and Alabama, Miami. Those would be tough to draw viewers away from, but it was still disappointing to see an 11 a.m. kick on FS1. So I would hope that you get that kind of a crowd, but I think it would be different if this team were a little bit hotter, and it would be different if this were a night game and everybody had all day to hang out in Dallas. So we'll see. The numbers, you know, I've been traveling with this team since 2011, week in and week out, and we have seen gradually over time throughout the years the numbers dipping as not only K-State has kind of dwindled slightly over the last four, five, 6 years in terms of profile, but also just so many of these games have been at 11 a.m. Like Oklahoma has complained about that here recently. The Big 12 with these big noon kickoffs and Fox has been in that window so much, and I do think that really hurts the ability and the want to for a lot of fans to travel because you just don't get all day to hang out and party. It really affects that trip. So we'll see. Hopefully K-State fans do show up.
I'm really surprised that maybe K-State fans sort of at least, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, maybe aren't as excited about this season. I can't imagine a team returning a quarterback as talented as I think Skylar Thompson is. It's not a coincidence to me when you look at when things started to fall apart for K-State last year. They also didn't have their starting quarterback. You've got a top-flight quarterback in Skylar Thompson, at least in a college spec, and you've got one of the more talented running backs in all of the conference. Like, I think K-State has a chance to be pretty good this year.
I do, too. I mean, I think my expectation is in linebacking the end of the year last year with COVID, and I think the bigger deal is you lost Skylar Thompson and had to do a true freshman quarterback in a year where nobody had any spring ball. So Will Howard was just thrown totally to the wolves. I do think that made a big difference. But Skylar Thompson, I think, is, you know, he's pulling within the more top team than any athlete.
All right, we got to put John on hold there. The Lord just doesn't want K-State football to flourish, Rob. It's okay. Tell John that I'm sure K-State will win 7 games this year and they'll be happy. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll talk some Kansas City Chiefs football. Tyrann Mathieu met with the media earlier today. Tyrann Mathieu met with the media. We'll get to that coming up in just a little bit. Let's end our college whip around as we talk a little bit of Kansas Jayhawks. We'll head to the phone lines right now and be joined by Matt Tate of the Lawrence Journal-World. A lot has changed with the athletic department here over the last 3 to 4 months. What do you make of all the turnover at Kansas?
Yeah, everything's the right word for it. I mean, it's a new AD, a new football coach, a bunch of football players out, a bunch of football players in, and then, of course, Coach Self added 10 guys to his roster or is in the process of doing so. So, you know, it's one of those things where when you look at it big picture, it seems a little crazy and chaotic, but I think, to be honest with you, every one of those areas was an improvement. I think the basketball team got better with its additions. I think the football team made it terrific hire, and I think the AD is showing early signs of being a really good fit for Kansas, and you know, you got to go out and perform and make it count and have those guys play and execute and put up numbers and put up victories and all that stuff, but you can't do that in the summer. So what they're doing so far in the last few months is certainly positioning them to move forward into a brighter future. It may still take some time in a couple of those areas, but I think KU fans should feel great about it, and I think KU as a whole feels really good about where they're at.
Matt, you bring up the new football coach. Let's start there, and we'll transition into basketball. What are your early impressions of the new coach and the recruiting strategy? They've brought in 7 players from Buffalo. You're now expecting those guys to come in and compete at a high Power 5 level. What's your early impressions?
Well, you can't ask for more than that. In my opinion, the idea that he brought some guys that know what he's about, both as players, as transfers, but also a lot of his staff is very, very comfortable and familiar with him. I just think that helps your transition so much. We've seen all the other football coaches that come through there do it a different way, try to fit pieces together. And you know, they've had some good football coaches, good position coaches that were on good staffs and then went on to be on good staffs too. So it's not like they were all duds. It's just so much harder to take a bunch of guys who don't know each other and piece them together and expect it to happen in a year or two, you know. So I think Lance Leipold has positioned himself very well in that regard. It won't be continuity. It won't be, you know, the same old because it's brand new to him. It's a step up, and Kansas is a whole different animal. But I think there will be a feeling of that. Those guys, especially with the 2 coordinators and himself and then some of those Buffalo players that came down here to follow him, I just think that helps them get on a faster track. I don't know that that means wins and losses right away or anything positive in that area, but I do think in terms of turning it around and building that culture and setting that foundation that is going to make him successful here, I think that's an A-plus in the first step right there.
Matt, what's the culture and sort of climate around Kansas athletics right now? Because this appears to me, at least from the outside looking in, a healthier climate, a healthier culture around Kansas athletics, and also a belief that everybody is pushing in the same direction. I think everybody, you don't got to be inside that program to know that Self and the AD might not have always been on the same page. That doesn't appear to be an issue right now over at KU.
Yeah, you know when your breathing is labored and you have trouble taking that deep breath, and you know, maybe you just got done running or something, or you came off of a basketball court and it's just short breaths and it's hard. That was really the last few years, several years at KU. And then, completely honest, as soon as they made some decisions to move on from past guys and things like that, you felt like the entire department could just get that deep breath and just take it all in and feel good about where they're going and get on the same page. It doesn't seem like that took much time or effort at all. It seemed like that was something that people were longing for and waiting for. And boom, you snap your fingers and it comes overnight. And everybody, from what I can tell anyway, everybody seems to be very happy with the direction and just breathing much, much easier.
Last question here. We're talking to Matt Tate with the Lawrence Journal World, also KUSports.com. This has been one of the craziest off seasons I can remember for Kansas basketball. If we're talking about sort of the turnover, Kansas is a program that typically has great continuity, but not even them can escape present day modern college basketball with the transfer portal and all of the rules when it comes to eligibility. What do you make of this offseason for Kansas? And there's still a couple of guys in the wind in terms of whether they're going to stay in the NBA draft or not. Oche Agbaje, I don't believe, has made a decision. Neither has Jalen Wilson. How do you think this plays out for KU?
Yeah, and Remy Martin's in that mix, too. He's the third piece of that puzzle. Obviously, a big-time transfer there. If they're able to get him, it's a huge addition. And I think that's the thing, Carrington. I mean, it's incredible that you look at, on paper, how many new guys and new faces they've brought in. And yet, even with that being the case, if Ochai and Jalen both come back, you look around and you say, well, Ochai's still there, and Jalen's still there, and Christian Brown's still there, and David McCormick's still there, and Mitch Lightfoot's still there. So they almost completely overhauled the roster, yet they maintained a bunch of guys that have played a bunch of games and big roles. And so it's kind of a mix of a veteran squad with a bunch of new faces. And you know, like I mentioned a minute ago, I think there's nothing but good news coming in that department. I think they've improved in just about every area. You know, it's the same thing I said. I mean, these guys have to show up. These transfers and newcomers have to show up and prove that they can play at this level and prove that they can play for Bill Self. But every indication is that they will be able to do that. And if they can and everything gels like it looks like it's going to, then, yeah, you're looking at a top three, top five team easy and you know, back on track to being the title contender that they expect to be. So I talked to Self a couple of months ago or maybe a few weeks ago now about, do you have enough time with all these new guys? Do you have enough time to get it all together before the season starts? And, you know, the biggest thing he mentioned was, yeah, we've got all summer. Last year, because of the pandemic, guys were at home. We didn't have that. You know, they couldn't work together in the summer, and that hurt teams across the country. That hurt KU. He said that he thought that hurt the quality of basketball and college basketball as a whole. But now that these guys can get back, most of them are here right now in Lawrence working out together, building that chemistry. He said that's plenty of time. Some of these guys have said the same thing. So I think it's something to be excited about if you're a Kansas fan. There's no question. I mean, you'll need a roster with you when you're watching games, and you'll need to learn some new numbers and how to pronounce some names and things like that. But if your goal is for your team to win big, you should be very happy come October, November, December, January, February, and then obviously see what happens in March.
That is Matt Tate with the Lawrence Journal World, also with KUSports.com. As we celebrate anybody but the Royals Day, we talk a little Kansas. Thanks, Matt.
I've never felt so loved, man. I appreciate it.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.